Good morning, Rabbi Sai. So now we come to the Shitta of the Rambam. The Rambam says as follows. The Rambam says that when the Gemara says, not like Tosfos, that when the Gemara says that there are three stages, it means three stages, and the Mahadrim and the Mahadrin is more than the Mahadrin, and the Mahadrin is more than the Mitzvah. So the Mitzvah is one candle. The Mahadrin is one candle per household member. I asked Rav yesterday, I asked him, what's the Pirsum Inissa in advertising the number of people in the house who are... He wasn't sure. He said maybe it's just telling the public that there are 10 people celebrating Hanukkah in this house. Yeah, I don't know. He wasn't sure. It's something that he's looking up.
It's to do with the mon.
I started to look it up, huh?
It's to do with the mon.
The mon?
The mon, the amount of mon filled for how many people are in the house.
Yeah, but that's because they needed to eat.
Yes.
Okay. In any event, yeah. Zot the Rambam. No, the Rambam says we have to learn it. We have to learn it poshut. Yeah. Don't forget that the Mechaber was not necessarily talking about today when we have what we call menorahs, right? When we have a form, a shape that has eight candles in it, right? In the time of the Mechaber, you had individual lamps, and you had like five lamps. Think of, in terms of, let's say, a standard Yahrzeit lamp. Yeah, so they had one lamp there, they put two, this is the second one, and then the third one, fourth one. So the Mechaber had a problem, the Rambam had a problem with Tosfos Pshat, that let's say on day four, and there are 10 people, sorry, on day two, and there are 10 people in the house. So you've got 20 candles. Yeah, you're lighting one for each person in the house. So you're lighting, let's say, sorry, so then you're, according to the Mahadrin, you're lighting 10 candles. I don't know whether there are two people in the house and today is day five, yeah, or whether there are five people in the house and today is day two. It doesn't tell me anything, right? It doesn't tell me how many people are in the house. It doesn't tell me which day it is, because it could be either or.
There are like the same number of candles each day as the number of people in the house.
Yeah, every day, yeah. But if the Rambam says that if you would have the alternative either way, then you wouldn't be able to tell. So therefore you don't have the alternative. Says the Rambam, basically, my time is up. The Rambam says that you either have one candle for the whole household. Mahadrin is, let's say, 10 people in the house, 10 candles every day. And Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is 10 menorahs. In other words, the first day you light 10, and the second day you light 20, and on the eighth day you light 80. So you'll have 10 menorahs, right? In other words, you're building on the fact that you're multiplying the number of people in the household by the number of menorahs. Yeah? How do you get the hacker on day four, etc., etc.? We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Start with the Torah Northwest London Thursday, Kavtes Cheshvan, 20th of November. Marin Harav, Rafi Garson, Shalita, Sanctity and Destruction, the Halachic Debate over the Synagogues of Gush Katif, Part 2 of 2. This exhibit is sponsored by Founder Klein and Mendelssohn, Lechwer Tzum Samson of Eli Kleiner and Leah Mendelssohn, Chetichia, Custom Text Based Today, Yes Hashem, He Rosh Hashem, Vice, Nemon, Israel, the Shem Yisroel, also Lina Nishmas, our founder. Rav Yosef Dov Ben, Rav Shimon, the Chol Tzvi Itzkovitz, Zohar Noli Bracha.
Okay. Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, there's two sources. The ones I brought with are larger print because there's only one page per page. So if you want, it's easier to read the ones over here. Okay, they're slightly larger print. Okay. So let's just recap where we left off last week. And try and sort of get back in the zone. So this is a heartbreaking tshuva that was written by Rabbi Yaakov Ariel, who is the chief rabbi of Ramat Shlomo. He's written a whole series of svarim called Ohala Shel Torah. This was in Chelek Hay. It was the first siman, and he was obviously selected by the Rabbanut to deal with this question, which we began to discuss and unpack last week. And that was after the Nakut, after the, in 2005 of August, when 9,000 Jews were uprooted from their homes by other Jews in and of self, which was unprecedented. What was going to happen to the Batei Knesiot? What was going to happen to the shuls, to the synagogues that were left behind? So he deals with the fact that he was bothered by by the issue that the government didn't feel that that was a halakhic shaila, the fact that they were being removed and how you deal with all of that, etc., etc. But he said, but since they were charged to answer this question, they have to deal with it. So that was an odd bet. And on page 14, towards the bottom, he dealt with the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot in Sif Lametet. Which dealt with the concept of whether or not the destruction of a shul would be considered to be something which is midoraita or midorabanan. Is it from the Torah? Is it rabbinic? And the ramifications for that. And we said that seemingly according to most poskim, it would be only midorabanan. And again, either way, and then he made that point, regardless whether you hold this derabanan, whether you hold the raita, nonetheless, the pegiyah hamura b'kavod shamayim is immense. The fact that this is an affront to everything which is, you know, indicative of what we call sanctity and holiness, reverence. The fact that a shul has to be destroyed. Then we dealt with in sections 3. I'm just running through it briefly. The famous famous because we dealt with it last week. A well-known tshuva of the Shul Yaakov Rav Reichel, who was the Rav of Mainz, regarding the genizot. If you remember the idea that there was parchments of Sifrei Torah and Sfarim and Sidurim, etc., that were put in barrels, and the non-Jews at the time were stealing them and using them for horrific means, including toilet paper. And therefore, he came to a conclusion that it was permitted, and we asked the Olam at the time what the approach was. He came to the conclusion that it would be permitted to go ahead and burn Sifrei Kodesh and burn parchment of Sifrei Torah in order to avoid further disgrace, further bizayon by the non-Jews. And his biggest proof was we gave several rise, if you go through the actual tshuva, was from Shaul HaMelech, where he allowed himself to be killed rather than fall into the hands of the Pelishtim, and he made this equation of death versus burning Sifrei Torah, etc., etc. And that was his approach. The Knesset Yecheskel of Katzenel and Bogan on page 16, he argued with him. And he said there's really no proof from Shaul HaMelech, and he gave several reasons, which, you know, we don't find the precedent necessarily that you can go ahead and commit murder to prevent further disgrace, and dochin nefesh mipen nefesh, and therefore he says Be'al Korchach, that's where we left off on page 16, the fourth paragraph down. So for those who want bigger print, there's bigger print here. Yeah. Correct. The question becomes, what do you do with the shul itself? As the Rambam explained, and the other poskim, if you go through it, if you heard last week, there's seemingly a prohibition, you know, to destroy Beit Knesset. And just to clarify the question was, should the Israeli army do it themselves? Or do we say that maybe there's a concern that the Muslims or the Palestinians would move in and destroy our houses of worship with venom and viciousness and rishus, very much like the Nazis did. And therefore, what's better? Do we prevent further bizayon? And that's his question. By doing it ourselves, even though it may infringe on a Torah prohibition, which the Rambam seems to indicate. Or do we say, actually, you know, maybe they should do it? The Maaseh, what happened was, as you discussed last week, was they left them. They left them. Of course, they took out all the Sifrei Torah. He talks about towards the end what certain shuls with the Arona Kodesh, if that in itself is a problem.
What do you consider destruction ultimately? Building or
so for this purpose? Everything. The demolition of a synagogue and just destroying it. Even taking off a brick. We had the reference to the Mizbeach, even taking off a brick of the Mizbeach, the Rambam says it's problematic. And he says that sort of also applies to shuls as well. But
was it thought that they would maybe use it as a mosque?
He deals with that. That's a whole. We're hopefully going to get to that section. I don't know. It's a long shuva of 25 pages, so we'll see how much we can get through. But I think it's important.
In Islam, are we allowed to destroy a synagogue?
In Islam, are we allowed to destroy?
The religion of Islam. Is Islam allowed to destroy?
Oh, they don't. Yeah, they'll do whatever they want. Islam does not mean peace, right? It means the commitment to the will of Allah, okay? In terms of how you view Islam and everything, he'll deal with all of these topics. I don't know, but it depends what type of Muslim you are, okay? Not you, but whatever. The more moderates or the more radicals. Okay.
It could be that they're not allowed to destroy.
It could be, they're not allowed to kill Jews or civilians either, but they don't give a damn about that. You saw what happened October 7th. So, you know, Lemaisa, yeah. Whether they fulfill what's in their books or not, I don't know. But we're going to deal with that. What Yankee said, the question about whether it's concerned, what is a mosque, how we approach all these things. hopefully I don't think he deals with your point, but I'm not sure what the Quran says. I'm not that familiar with the Quran. I've only read bits of it, to be honest. And it's not a very pleasant book, so you can definitely read it in the toilet if need be. Okay. Let's learn this together. Let's study the Torah of Rav Yaakov Ariel. Page 16. In the situation of Shaul HaMelech, since either way he was going to die, Biglal, either Shachsoa or Shevetz, whether he had some form of stroke, or Shapelishim Yagdim al Argo, or there was a concern there that the Pelishim would have preceded and killed him first. Imken, Chayav Hayu Chayesha. So, you know, interesting, he delved into a very different discussion. And therefore, his life was termed what we call Chayesha, which is, a principle which is discussed often in halacha. Essentially, it means either the person's not going to live a year, or he has a very short time to live. Even though you can make the case that Chayesha is still considered life, but when so to speak, what you're weighing, your options are a Chayesha, which is small, which is a very short life, vis-a-vis a long life. But that longer extended period of life is going to be filled with pain, torture, and trauma, and all the other things that Shaul HaMelech would have gone through. Then, yesh makom la'adif chayesha'a kisarim yotel. So maybe there's an argument to make that to choose the chayesha'a, which is slightly shorter. And one of the riyas from this is Misugi Avoy Dazara, the Gemara of Dazara, where Rabbi Yochanan says, Safik chai, safik meis, en matrim ben. There, the Gemara is discussing in context, is a person allowed to go ahead and have a medical assistance from an Oved Avodah Zarah, okay, a pagan back in the days, where there's a concern that he doesn't care too much for your life itself and might kill you. So Rabbi Yochanan says, in a situation where a person is not sure if he's going to live, he's going to die, then en mitrapim mem, because then the concern that he might kill you. But vaday mes, if it's anyways for certain he's going to die, then mitrapim mem. Because maybe he'll cure you. So, what have you got to lose, so to speak? So Gemara asks the question, Mace, what do you mean, Badai Mace? If he's dead, Haika Chayesha. But, he's able to live a certain amount of time. And therefore, how can you go ahead and take this practitioner's medical help if he may kill you and you won't even have that? So the Gemara concludes in sort of cryptic words, L'chayesha lo chashina. L'chayesha lo chashina. We're not concerned for Chayesha. So what does that mean? So Tosfos over there explains, She konit choshashina chayesha. Meaning, Bikaron, normally speaking, we are concerned for Chayesha. Im zul letovato shel chole, if that is for the benefit of the person that's sick. Velachem, if akin rab dagal, afin b'shabbat. Halachez, if you have a rubble that falls on a person on Shabbos, right? Even though you're not sure if he's alive, but then you start moving the rubble, even there's a problem on that on Shabbos. Abim kom shetovato hi shelo lechyot. But if that's a concern, whether he's not going to live, we're not worried about it. So that was a concern. So he says, based on this, just to summarize, Omnam Etzel Shaul, when it came to Shaul HaMelech in that moment in history, Shnei Hasadadim Ayush Kunim, both sides were equal. Either way, he was going to be killed by the Pelishtim, or he's going to be killing himself. So therefore, because it was going to be so much worse, if he would be captured by the Pelishtim and be killed in their ways, so therefore that was machriya the isur vaday sheyishno behematasmo for him to allow himself to be killed. Now the question that becomes on page 17. He asks the following question regarding our case. Shus Yaakov, who already Rav Raksa says that said you go ahead and you burn Shemus, right, because they're going to be arriving in worse disgrace with the non-Jews. Yodeh, but he would agree here that we, the Jewish people, should not be destroying the shuls ourselves. Afilu lisvarato, even according to his logic. Which was the case he made last week without going back into it, but the idea that the sanctity and the reverence and the awe that we have for Sefer Torah is comparable to the life of a Jew. He doesn't say that you can go ahead and burn with one's hands the Kitvei HaKodesh, except the only license he gave to destroy the Genizot over there was because if you don't do that, what's going to happen? They're going to steal them and they're going to use them for worse things. Meidach Kisa, but on the other hand, Hazeman Sheben Seravat Bidei Yisrael Ben Chinurim Aridei Goyim Harei Ken Chayasha. The time difference between the burning of the Shemus by the Jews themselves and the violation of the Shemot by the Goyim themselves is like Chayasha. And therefore, Rak Ben Migram and Zeh Hiter Lachaler Kidva Kodesh Beidaim. So only under those circumstances did the Shulchan Yaakov say, writing in the 1700s, that it was permitted. In order to prevent further disgrace. Ach benidon didan, but Rav Yaakov Aryeh makes the case, but in our case, 20 years ago, August 2005, that on the one hand, the destruction of the shuls in Gush Katif by the non-Jews is not necessarily worse, okay, greater than the destruction of the Jewish people. They're going to destroy it in a similar way to the way we are going to do it. Maybe we should go ahead and do it. So you can make that case. What's the difference? He said, but Adarabba, he says, Anu musarim ba'umdim ba'isur lo tasu ken. As the Rambam says very clearly, the Pasuk says you should not do this in reference to the destruction of the shuls. The iluhem en musarim bekach. Sort of this answers your question. They don't have this issa of destroying shuls. Okay, I forgot. They don't have this issa. Nimsa shebemechina hilchatit. So therefore, from using the halachic lens of Torah, hapegiya bekavod bekaneset gedola yoter kishanu osin otav basmenu. It's worse when we do it ourselves. And if you look in the footnotes at the bottom there, it'd be very small in yours, but in the big ones there. And he says the raya for this in source 6, veray lekach shita teyushalmi. The Gemara says in Yerushalmi a fascinating idea, which the Beis Yosef brings in Yoreder and Siman Shem Mem, she'en korina serifat sefer Torah ela bidei Yisrael velo bidei Nochri. Okay, that you don't rip Kriya if you hear about the fact that the Sefer Torah was destroyed or was burnt, unless it was done through the hands of the Jews. Okay, but not if a non-Jew did it. Now, so that's one point. And therefore, just picking up in the middle. Hadavar en adomin Shalom Melech. This is not comparable to Shalom Melech's case. Shachashash besedek shitalubo. So he had a righteous justification that if he's captured, he'll be completely mocked and scorned. Dehainu sheyebuzu bizon nora v'yanu inyon kashim. And he'd be suffering tremendous tortures. V'ishpulu adafar ad keren yisar besuah mechridan. And they would bring down the glory of the Jewish people in a terrible way. Ach benidon didan. But in our specific case, they're going to do exactly the same thing that we're going to be doing, namely the destroying of the shuls. But they're going to be doing it. They're going to do it with violence and tremendous passion. But even that is just a chashash, a concern that they may do this. Maybe they'll use them for other things, like you said. Maybe they'll use them for a mosque. Velachen, therefore, he concludes at this point, En hasdaka b'mikras zeh sh'anu navor b'mei yadinu ha'beracha moravadit. We should not be carrying out a vaday avera, okay, with our own hands, rak kedei limnoa et ha'chashash shema hem yasu kimat otu adavar. Maybe because of a concern, they may do the same thing. Ragim ha'chash savir, he says, only if it was a very clear concern, almost karov levadai, almost a definite concern. Shegoyim yichalu et bater kaneset ba'ofen chamur yoter mitano. They would destroy it in a much more stricter way. Then hayamakum nidmot davar zeh lemikre shashvut Yaakov. So then there would be a parallel case to the case of the shuls Yaakov. V'ulai lisok kamor, and then maybe we can make a ruling like his. Namely, we should destroy the shuls ourselves rather than allow them to destroy it. Elishigam az ayinu esim michlas safik. But even then, we wouldn't remove ourselves from the realms of doubt. Shekena kenechsi hesker cholakalav. We saw of Kesner Rambam, and he argues on him. So, and uledata Rambam zeulai sis Torah. And according to the Rambam, at least, he was very clear that his opinion or his school of thought was we're dealing with a provision from the Torah itself. Veshev ve'al tase adif. And therefore, maybe sit back and don't do anything. And therefore, he concludes at this point. Ulam im hachashash lekach rak rachok v'asivirot hagvoy yoter hi shehem yishamshu bet kenes yishmur shchol shelahem. And therefore, maybe if you make the case, and maybe they'll be using this for secular purposes, or afinu not behem miskadim, or they're going to go ahead and use it to build mosques. Adayin en avizion godel yoter mantzat shalom yader ma. That's not going to be considered worse than us destroying it ourselves in terms of the disgrace. Now, that's point two. Point three, at the bottom of page 17, Yetera mizo b'shut Dovei Mesharim. The Dovei Mesharim was written by Rav Dov Beresh, Wiedenfeld.
Why Denenfeld?
In 1881 to 1965, that's when he was born. But he was the chief rabbi of a town in Poland, whose name I can't remember, begins with a T.
Treblin.
So the Dovei Mesharim. How do you pronounce his name?
What
was
Wiedenfeld?
Wiedenfeld. Okay. So the Dovei Mesharim says the following: Nakash Yisrael. It's a fascinating concept. Nakash Yisrael eno achrai limnoa min agoy levazot davar shekedusha. There's no obligation on a Jew to prevent a non-Jew, right? To disgrace something of kedusha, only to hand it over to him, it's prohibited. And it's fascinating. You see the so many different concepts and ideas within this tshuva that he sort of tries to weave together to create this tapestry of what the halacha would say about this. And I'm ashamed to say I didn't know about this man beforehand. But the more you go through his story, the more you realize. I think he's how understated he is. He's really phenomenal. So he says, let's clarify. The Dovei Mesharim says that there is no prohibition or no responsibility for a Jew to prevent a non-Jew from being mevaze a davar shel kedusha unless he physically hands it over. What's his raya? It's a raya for the Gemara Shabbat. Gemara Shabbat, Daf Lamed Kuf Lamed, or Lamed Kuf, he says here. What was the story of Elisha Bar Kanafayim? Shechalaset tevila beisaram biyadam minei akastor. So at the time there was a year he couldn't wear tefillin in public, and he hid them underneath his hands, whatever it was, because of this general that was coming to him, towards him. Velo masar asmol amar tefillim hem. He didn't physically say that I've got tefillin in my hands. So what, as Tosfos there explains, umi debrehem muchach. So it says the Torah and Mishnah from here we learn. He didn't say this because he was concerned that the general would go ahead and he'll degrade the tefillin. So he said, "What I have in my hands, you know, I have a dove, whatever it was." Ki en lanu achrayut an ma shehagoy alul lasod. Again, let's unpack his words. It's quite an incredible statement. We have not got any achrayut, any responsibility on what a non-Jew might do. Ela al korach amar kanfei yonahem ki eno chayav limsor nafsho al hanachat tefillin. He doesn't have to give up his life for tefillin. It's not one of the three avirus. It wasn't necessarily done publicly according to the Rambam. So therefore, he said that they come for yona. Mikam mivakesh omnam asu limsor et batei knesset rochim. So therefore, mivakesh omnam, he says, granted, you can't hand over the synagogues to the non-Jews with your own hands. By doing that, you're taking the Migdash Me'at, which is all we have outside, right? Outside there is the soil after the destruction based on Migdash. All we have is the Migdash Me'at. Taking this Migdash Me'at and handing it over to these people, they're going to disgrace it. V'rak im agoy mechalelam be'atzmo lelot arvot misadenu. Only if they go ahead and destroy it without interfering, and arachem lechilul, right? Ach gam ledavram en safek sheyisrael haoreset bet knesset biyadav chamur yoter mizeh amoser legoy shalul leorsav. He's quick to point out that even according to the Dovei Mesharim, it's quite clear that a Jew himself that destroys a shul, it's considered with his own hands, it's considered much more chamur than if he would be handed over to a non-Jew to do. Now, hashchata beder kavod adifa al hashchat bevizyon. So he says the following in page 18 in point 4. He said, earlier on we asked, Al Barshut Yaakov. So we had, again, Rav Reichel Reichel last year, we asked the question on him last week. Ma makom yesh lashvot bizui kitva kodesh l'midato shel Shaul HaMelech? What exactly is the equation here? His biggest raya in his tshuva, to allow you to go ahead and destroy kitva kodesh in order that he shouldn't become disgraced by the non-Jews in a worse scenario, was from the story of Shaul HaMelech. Hare retzicha bevadai lo hutra kedar limno bizui. Which is his question, we sort of alluded to this last week. A definite murder is never permitted in order to prevent further disgrace. Therefore he says, I'm suggesting, he says in his humble opinion, a different way of understanding what he meant. He's not necessarily making an equation between murder and between the desecration of Kitvei Kodesh. V'chol rayato hi mityachasut shel Shaul lekvodam shel Yisrael. Different aspect, legamoi. The whole concept of bringing down this particular raya was what was Shaul HaMelech's, hityachasut, relationship when it came to the kavod of Israel. Yeah. So kavanato hi levayer sheShaul asa kem mishum kavod Yisrael. Shaul's decision to commit suicide was because he took into account the kavod of the Jewish people. Sharei Melech motzi lemichama gam al kavod Yisrael. The halacha is very clear. The king himself can go out to war in order to give kavod to the Jewish people. V'ariyam Shaul asmo. Shaul asmo shehotzi et Yisrael lemichala mirchat Yisrael. In the first war that he waged, he went out to war with the Jewish people. Akevodam shel anshei Yavesh Gilad. In the story over there, kedelim noa nikur nehem viden nachash amoni. Remember the story then, Shmuel Aleph. But atet adam chelpa al kol Yisrael kemo b'Shmuel Aleph. Okay, so he went ahead and did this. If you look in the footnotes at the bottom here, he says something interesting. He says, "Umnam ledat shut Yaakov vaday yeshimod mishal melech shemutal laros batekneset mishum kavod am Yisrael shul kavod shemaim ach yesh tivchon bezirut et hametziut." He said, "We have to understand very clearly what's the reality." Haumnam bizayon Yisrael betorato sheyaseh alidei maaseh nochrim yeh gadol ad kedekach sheu mafil et etzem bizayon shabeisat batekneset Yisrael mazik ota. Granted, you can make the case that if it's going to be tremendous disgrace, maybe we have a reason to go destroy the shul ourselves. But le'anuyut ati benidon didan, ha'chirpa sheyishna b'arisat bet hakneset b'yad Yisrael, the fact that the Jews themselves are destroying the shuls themselves, zaha is so it's comparable to le'chirpat sheyishna b'arisat b'yad oyev Yisrael, the disgrace sheyishna b'arisat b'yad oyev Yisrael v'olad afkedra yeter. Okay, so therefore that's important to be aware of that. And therefore he concludes, Ki yadua, kol milchama kol erev tocham zichonin. So that's the reality of war. War always contains within it dangers. Ukefi shekadav Mincha Chinuch, the Mincha Chinuch makes this very clear. Nimsa shesmuchuto shel melech, hi nishloach chayalim. What is the function of a king? Is to send out soldiers, ilachem, to fight, to protect Am Yisrael, to protect Eretz Yisrael, b'yediyah shem alun limot, knowing full well, says the Minchas Chinuch, that he knows, that the king knows, that the soldiers are likely to die. Hafinu lemanu madash shekom l'Yisrael, even for the honor of Yisrael. Shehi bevaday ne'elami ala sikunu tevem, v'kash yisim alem yivchad avir Shabbat, which is for sure the dangers of sending him out to war on Shabbat. You can go to send out to war, you can send out tevem and kash if they need that. Im et chayalav hu rashay lesaken. So therefore he makes the case. If the soldiers themselves are allowed to endanger themselves, kal vachomer shu rashay lesaken at asmon emanko with Yisrael. The king therefore himself is allowed to go ahead and endanger himself for the honor of Klal Yisrael. Nimsa sheshaul shakal kavod mul kavod. Shaul's mehalech at that point in history was weighing up one kavod vis-a-vis another kavod. Chilul kavod Yisrael sheigram alidei hiladut haralim mul hiladut mechubedet. The fact that if the Pelishim would get hold of him, it would be a tremendous disgrace against him and what they would do to his body. Right? Mul hit abdut ha-mechubedet. Vis-a-vis a respectable, so to speak, suicide. Uhu adif nitabed kedei shekavod Yisrael yicholel pachot. Therefore he decided to go ahead and commit suicide in order that the honor of the Jewish people should be minimized. Ma'asherim yipol vidar Pelishim, that if he'd be in the hands of the Pelishim. Mizeh hisik ha-shvut Yaakov, and therefore the maskana of the shvut Yaakov was based on this idea and notion. Shehu adin shemotei mekudoshim. So too, when it came to Shemos, adif shisar yisivu bekabot. Better that the Jewish people should destroy it with a sense of kabod. Mishagoyim yichalul kabod v'yizavam. That the non-Jews should go ahead and be mechalil the kavod that we have on the Shemos and disgrace him. Now, he's building up to his maskana. We're going to have to probably have another three series on this. But nonetheless, let's pick up on source 5. Kedushat bet haKnesset mul kedushat kitvei kodesh. Lefi baal Knesset Yecheskel, according to Rav Katzenel and Gvogon, adif le'afsher et bizayon kitvei haKodesh bidei haGoyim asher l'ashchit bidei Yisrael. He said a fascinating thing. It is better for the non-Jews to take these kitvei kodesh, use them for the worst possible ideas, including wiping themselves and cleaning themselves, rather than the Jewish people should burn them themselves. That was his maskana. Adain Sarichiyun, but nonetheless, it requires further study. Im yeshid mot lekach et harisat batekneset, shehare lerov haposkim, isur harisatam eno elemi derabanan. Okay, according to the most, so what about our particular question? He says, well, according to most poskim, as we all saw last week, the Rif and Ran and others, the destruction of batekneset is only derabanan. Destroying definitely Hashem's name is an Issa Minator. Therefore, if it's Midrabanan, maybe you can make the case it's better that we should destroy the shuls ourselves than allow a greater disgrace to happen with their destruction by non-Jews. Midach Kitza, on the other hand, Hachashash Shebizuyim Shebetekeneset Al Yedei Nochrim Eno Chamur Kemozeh Shebizuy Shemot Kodshim. The destruction of shuls by non-Jews is not considered to be as chamur Shebizuy Shemot of the destruction of Shemot Kodshim Ba'adran Neduchten. And maybe the question comes back to the beginning. Shedin Harisat Betekeneset Ba'ofen Yezum Yishavu Ledin Sfarat Shemot. Then maybe there is that equation between destroying the shuls and burning Shemus, Bishnei Amrikim, Shnei Adim Shkunim, and therefore he says he's, you know, there's equal size on both sides. We have three more minutes left. Let's just pick up on the next page. Where are we? Page.
Can I?
Yeah. Let me. Yeah, go on.
No one differentiates between destroying a shul and destroying an Aron Kodesh. Aron Kodesh you can't destroy, you have to keep it.
So he deals, he has a whole section dealing with this. We'll come to that. Yeah. Now, we've got 2-3 minutes, let's just finish up here. Psalm 6, we'll begin. So the section here is emboldened here. Im b'sreira sheba limnoa bizui yesh mishum kabot. Here's an interesting question he raises over here, all the questions. The destruction or the burning of the Kitva Kodesh in order to prevent bizui, is that considered to be kabot? This whole discussion between the Shvut Yaakov and the Knesset Yisrael has Shukunim and Sefirat Kiv Hakodesh Bidei Shem Mur Bizam Bidei Agoyim, vis-a-vis whether you should destroy the Shemus with one's hand by burning them to allow them not to be disgraced further by the non-Jews. Then Omar Shesiratam Bidei Shem Nasit Keden Nur Bizonam. If burning them is in order to prevent further disgrace, Mimeda Serefa Zu Lo Lechilul Hakodesh Nechshav. Fascinating concept. Maybe therefore the destroying of these shemus which you're burning with your hands is not considered chilul kodesh. Is not considered desecrating. Ela dafka kavod ulahem. This is respect. This is honor. Vehi ena bichlal isur hashkata. And therefore it's not considered hashkata bichlal. Why? Because you're doing this in order to prevent further disgrace. We find the Gemara in Bava Basra talks about this very clearly. The person is allowed to go ahead and to chisel away, even on the Bet HaMikdash itself, in order to build something more beautiful. Right? Kadesh Yisir Baba Membuta Lehurdus, as the Gemara says in Baba Batra Daf Gimel. Ki netisa kazo lo noda levazot el adar lechabot. Ah, you're destroying. But no, this destroying is for the function of rebuilding. So therefore, that's considered covered. Omnam Achronim Lechelku Bagda Zon. Despite the fact that the Achronim have a debate about this, and if you can look at the Taz and Orachayim Kufnun Aleph, he said, the Taz of the opinion was very one of the strict opinions. He says, you're not allowed to even destroy a little bit of a wall of a Bet HaKnesset in order to prevent, to create some form of stand over there. Because if you're taking things away, that's considered destruction. He says, but nonetheless, the Al Yoraba and other poiskim, they disagree with this and they matter this. And also the Mishnah Berurah in Kufnu Bet Yud Bet also says, Sheshviyah lesorach tikun ena bichal isur. Destruction for the sake of rectification or rebuilding is not considered an issa. And therefore he starts the discussion in this section whether or not, you know, the burning of the Sifrei Torah is or parchments or Shemus is considered in and of itself an act of kavod, and therefore you'll see whether this applies also to our shaila. Again, there's lots of things going on over here, but I hope you find it informative as I do. Also. Okay.
So, thank you very much.
Welcome. I thought I would just give a chance 1 minute to pull back the principle. There's so much in here. It's just worth it. No. They're not received, and a few of them, not all of them.